But a lot of these young guys, and I'm not against anybody, don't get me wrong, but, you know, they come up, they get up on the platform and they got on these little skinny jeans, you know, and T-shirt and or whatever, you know. And, well, first off, I don't have any skinny jeans, so that's out. Second thing is, if I did, she wouldn't let me out of the house with them on. Third, I wouldn't go out of the house with them on, because I'll tell you what I would look like. Put that picture up there. That's what some of these guys look like with skinny jeans on. It's like, are you serious? I've seen some guys with big old bodies, you know, and they got toothpick legs and they got these little skinny jeans on. It's like, serious? When I saw that, I was like, uh-huh, there it is right there. Well, that's what I would look like. But anyway, and then I thought, well, I'll wear something wild and wild color or something. Because I like bright colors. Then my wife, she put on this beautiful dress with the little white shirt, whatever you want to call it, cover shirt. And I thought, white it is today. So I forewent all of the other things and says, okay, here I am. So you just got me the way I am.
Okay.
Amen. On this part. Now, the other shocker is, you know, when I minister, and when I read mostly, I'm pretty much a King James person. And that's what I read mostly, because that's what I grew up with. But today,
uh-oh,
I'm going to shock everybody.
Okay.
I'm going to go out of the Message Bible in contemporary language. And boy, that is different for me. What I'm going to talk to you about today is preparation for blessing. And on Wednesday nights, the kiddos been out here having their youth service, and the adults in the back with their Bible study. And well, the men have been taking turns. One of us sits being out here with the kiddos, because you never know when somebody might walk in the back door that don't need to be here or that need to be taken care of by somebody besides kiddos and the ladies that are in here. So it was my turn. I sat back there Wednesday night while they were having their little service, and then their teaching up here. They was all sitting around up here in the floor. And there was only two kids up here in this part. The rest of them were in the nursery, the small ones, the littles, they call them. But the others were up here, and they were in the floor, Tara and Rachel, and then were sitting up here in the floor with Kylie and Jaden. And they were having their little service, and it sounded like they were having a pretty good discussion. Well, I just got in my Bible and started reading, and what took me to this, the Lord, I guess, just took me to it. And I was looking through some things in my concordance and all that. And the Lord led me to this and talking about preparing for blessing. And you know, we need to prepare for blessing, whether it be spiritual blessing we need or physical blessing. And, you know, sometimes we treat God like a vending machine. Like, you know, you go up to a vending machine, whether it's a candy machine or a Coke machine, put your money in, you hit the button, there it is. Well, sometimes we treat God like that. We go to God and we say, okay, God bless me, here I am. Okay, God bless me, here I am. Okay, well, and then we go on our way. And, you know, sometimes we have things that, in being blessed, there's things that we need to do to prepare to be blessed. Because we not only want to be blessed, but we want to be a blessing. And as thinking about this, I thought about, Brenda will remember this, and maybe some others, probably Brother Danny maybe remember it. I don't know if he will or not. But Brother Darrell Hill preached a message one day, and he wrote a little song. I'm going to sing that little song for you. Says, everybody ought to be a garden hose, a garden hose, a garden hose. The men and the women and the boys and the girls, everybody ought to be a garden hose. And he preached a message about it. And that has stuck with me for, man, many years, because that was years and years ago. But the purpose of his message, you know what you do with a garden hose? You water garden, or you wash your car, you fill your swimming pool. But if it's not hooked up to a hydrant, you're not going to do nothing. You're just going to have a hose, and it's useless. If it's just laying there on the ground, it's not hooked to a hydrant, it's useless. We don't want to be useless. We want to be hooked to the Spirit. If we're tapped into the Spirit and allowing the Lord to flow His Spirit in us and through us, then we can be a blessing to others. It'll not only bless us for allowing the Spirit move through us, but it's also it can be a blessing to others as we give out. Just like watering that garden. You water the garden, the flowers are going to grow, or the vegetables are going to grow. Whatever you have planted is going to grow. But if you just go out there and you grab up a water hose that's not hooked to anything, you can stand there from now till eternity, and ain't nothing no good going to come of it. And we can be the same way if we're not careful. We need to be hooked to the Spirit. Okay, I'm going to go to, another thing I'm doing today, look at here.
Oh my Lord.
Uh-oh. I'm using this for my notes. This is a first, because I just figured out how to get them on here. I'm old school. So, you know, I've been telling, Jennifer keeps saying, do Dropbox, do this, do Dropbox. I said, I don't know anything about Dropbox. So finally last night I'm sitting there and I thought, I want to use that tomorrow. And so I get on there and I kind of figure out Dropbox. I figured it out. Well, a little bit. Enough to get this on here. But I brought my backup. You know, I brought my backup just in case. Because you never know. Well, not with an old guy like me. You never know. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 20 through 26. Like I said, this is Message Bible in contemporary language. When I first read it, I was like, boy, that is way different than what I read in my King James. But the more I read it, the more it spoke to me. It says, in a well-furnished kitchen, there are not only crystal goblets and silver platters, but waste cans and compost buckets. Some containers used to serve fine meals, others to take out the garbage. You know, when we get saved, we're not just automatically the vessel that God wants us to be. No, it doesn't work that way. Yes, we're saved, but there's preparation that has to take place in us in order for us to be what God wants us to be and how He wants to use us. Notice the first word in verse 21 says, become. Become the kind of container God can use to prevent any and every kind of, I'm sorry, not prevent, present any and every kind of gift to His guest for their blessing. We have to prepare ourselves and to become what He wants us to be. And to do that, we follow the instructions that were given in the Word of God. Verse 22 says, run away from infantile indulgence. Run after run after mature righteousness, faith, love, peace, joining those who are in honest and serious prayer before God. Refuse to get involved in inane discussions, because they always just end up in fights. God's servants must not be argumentative, but a gentle listener and a teacher who keeps cool, working firmly but patiently with those who refuse to obey. You never know how or when God might sober them up with a change of heart and a turning to the truth, enabling them to escape the devil's trap where they are caught and held captive, forced to run his errands. We have to be trained. We have to pursue what God wants us to be, and we have to be prepared to receive what he has for us, so that we can be that vessel of honor, so that we can be the person that God wants us to be, so that we can go and present him to others, to Christians, to sinners. 1 Peter 3, you read a lot of scripture. Y'all know me, that's what I do, because there's nothing better than the Word of God. It's a whole lot better than my words. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 through 18, says, through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention, in adoration before Christ, your master. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are, and always with the utmost courtesy. Keep a clear conscience before God, so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need a bath. Come on. Kind of plain, isn't it? Come on. It's better to suffer for doing good, if that's what God wants, than to be punished for doing bad. That's what Christ did definitively, suffered because of others' sins, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones. He went through it all, was put to death, and then made alive to bring us to God. So he set an example there. He gave himself so that we might be what we should be. He showed us and gave us his grace and his mercy so that he could teach us to be what he wants us to be on this earth. This next part is kind of for church leaders, and I'm not saying anything about anybody. Please don't take this wrong, but it's the Word of God. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 7 says, I have a special concern for you church leaders. I know what it's like to be a leader, in on Christ's sufferings as well as the coming glory. Here's my concern, that you care for God's flock with all the diligence of a shepherd, not because you have to, but because you want to please God, not calculating what you can get out of it, but acting spontaneously, not bossily telling others what to do, but tenderly showing them the way. When God, who is the best shepherd of all, comes out in the open with his rule, he'll see that you've done it right and commend you lavishly. And you who are younger must follow your leaders. But all of you, leaders and followers alike, are to be down to earth with each other. For God has it with the proud, has had it with the proud, but takes delight in just plain people. So be content with who you are. This is good. So be content with who you are and don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you. He'll promote you at the right time. Live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. And you know, like the messages that the pastors, Brother Hall and Brother Brandon Hall, have been preaching to us lately. You know, they've been preaching some good, strong word and teaching us some things that really need, we need to really more and more and more. I know we've heard it, but more and more, put it in our hearts and put it in our lives and live those things. The first one that he reminded me of was don't stop praying. I mean, that goes without saying. We're to pray every day, all day, every day. We're to live in the place of being knowledgeable of God and His presence in our lives. We should never, ever stop that. And then Brother Hall talked about the water's fine. Come on in. Get all in. Get out there, and he talked about this. Get out there in the water that you have no control of. You get in the water where the water of the Spirit takes you. And you can't control it. You just have, you know, if you try to fight it, it's worse. It's like if you get in the deep water and you just, and especially rushing water like in rapids, and you try to fight it, you're going down. Especially if you don't know how to swim. but if you allow yourself just to relax in the Lord and say, here I am, God, take me and use me. I'm getting in the deep and I'm going wherever you take me. Then that's when things start to happen. That's when God starts to teach you and show you where He wants you to be and what He wants you to be. And then there was Brandon. He preached about the chase, number one and number two. And of course, his main scripture was Matthew 6, 33 and 34. Now, this one I had to read in the King James first, just as a reminder. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And then in the Message Bible, it says, steep your life. Y'all know what steep means? Yeah. Get it all. Put as much of it on you as you can. Steep your life in God. Reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. So he's just showing us how to prepare. And a lot of this is talking about spiritual blessings, how to dive in spiritually and to prepare yourself for a blessing. We have to prepare ourselves and prepare our hearts and prepare our lives to be able to receive. It's just like that garden hose. If you don't put it on the faucet, that's preparing that hose to be able to be used for what it's meant for. And Gary, I didn't have a bobblehead. So I brought my football. Now, I got this football. I bought it myself. And it's going, I aired it up this morning, but it's going flat again. It's been sitting on the shelf a long time. I bought this football because when I was still working before I retired, they still do events at golf tournaments. Well, they did this two or three or several times, did this big event at a golf tournament that a lot of times a lot of the cowboys are there. They play at golf and this and that. And so I wanted to be prepared in case one of them came by so that I might could get an autograph. And everybody's not going to remember who this guy was, but some of you, the older ones will. Everson Walls. Defensive back for the Cowboys. Number 24. It's his signature right there. But see, I had to prepare to get it. I bought the ball and took it with me so that just in case one of them came by, I could say, hey, could you sign my ball? And he was very happy to do so. Very nice man. Talked with him just a little bit. But I had to prepare. If I hadn't had my ball, well, could I get a, what am I going to put it on? You know, but I prepared. And that's how we have to prepare to receive what God has for us. We got to prepare our lives and prepare ourselves to be ready so that as God pours into us and as God gives us what we need for our life, we're ready to receive it and we recognize it. In 2 Kings, you know, there was three kings that went out. The king of Israel, king of Judah, and the king of Edom went out, and they were going out to fight with Moab. Well, they got off down there, and there was no water. They had no water for their horses, their animals. And they began to accuse God. God, you brought us down here, and here we are. We have no water. We're all getting weak. We have no water for our animals. We have no water for ourselves. And it's your fault. Well, then Jehoshaphat, he said, we need a man of God. And so they called Elisha. And Elisha went down, came down, and 2 Kings 3 and 14 through 18 says, Elisha said, and this again the Message Bible, so it's kind of different wording. Elisha said, as God of the angel armies lives, and before whom I stand ready to serve, if it weren't for the respect I have for Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I wouldn't give you the time of day. It's like, whoa, that's pretty strong. Man of God says, if it weren't for this one, if it weren't for this king, Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even give you the time of day. He said, but considering, bring me a minstrel. When the minstrel played, the power of God came on Elisha and then said, God's word, dig ditches over this valley. Dig ditches all in the valley. And here's what will happen. You won't hear wind. You won't see rain. But this valley is going to be going to fill up with water. And your army and your animals will drink their fill. This is easy for God to do. And he will also hand Moab over to you. So, the thing was, is they had to dig the ditches. If they hadn't dug the ditches, nothing would have happened. The Word of God said, dig the valley full of ditches. So they did, and it didn't rain. But God filled them up. Gave them water to drink. A physical blessing, but they had to prepare. They had to prepare the valley to receive the water that God was going to give them. When there's no money to pay debts, Brenda talked about this a while ago. When there's no money to pay debts, we call on God. Say, God, you know, what do I do? Sometimes we have to prepare for the blessing. It's not always just God, I can't pay this bill here. Well, okay, I'll do the best I can do. Sometimes we've got to do something. It's like the woman whose husband died, and she couldn't pay her debts, and they were going to come take her sons and make slaves of them because they couldn't pay their debts. 2 Kings 4 and 3, they went to Elisha. Elisha says, here's what you do. Go up and down the street and borrow jugs and bowls from all your neighbors, and not just a few, all you can get. Then come home and lock the door behind you. And I wondered why that necessarily was important for them to lock the door behind them. But he said, lock the door behind you and your sons. As they brought the containers to her, she filled them up. When all the jugs and bowls were full, she said to one of her sons, another jug, please. He said, that's it. There are no more jugs. Then they all stopped. She had completed what she had there to be able to do. And so they all stopped. She then went and told the story to the man of God, and he said, go and sell the oil and make good on your debts, and then live, both you and your sons, on what's left. So he provided what they needed to pay off the debt so the sons didn't go into slavery, and then also provided enough for them to be able to live, and I take it, the rest of their lives, on what was left over. But they had to prepare. They had to go get the vessels for God to be able to do it. I mean, God could do anything. He could have just provided the vessels and the oil. So, poof, there it is. There you go. I mean, after all, he turned water into wine. God can do anything. But he required them to participate. He required them to go get the vessels and told them to get as many as they could get. And so they did, and God blessed them tremendously. Healing. You know, Naaman was a leper, and he was a very rich, famous man. And in 2 Kings 5 and 9, says that Naaman went to see Elisha. And so it says, so Naaman with his horses and chariots arrived in style and stopped at Elisha's door. Elisha sent out the servant to meet him with this message. Go to the river Jordan and immerse yourself 7 times. Your skin will be healed and you'll be as good as new. Naaman lost his temper. He turned on his heel, and I could just see that. He just, you know, mad. I can tell you a story about that, but I'll leave that alone. Spun on her heel and stomped her foot, yeah. Miss Dorothy. Anyway, he turned on his heels, saying, I thought he had personally come out and meet me. Call on the name of God, wave his hand over the disease spot, and get rid of the disease. You know, he thought, well, he'll just come out and say a prayer and, you know, Lord, touch it. And the Lord would heal it. And then he says the Damascus rivers, Abana and Pharpar, are cleaner by far than any rivers of Israel. Why not bathe in them? I'd at least be clean. Because the Jordan River was dirty. He stomped off, mad as a hornet, he says. But his servants caught up with him and said, Father, if the prophet had said to you, do something hard or heroic, wouldn't you have done it? So why not this simple wash and be clean? So he did. He went down and immersed himself in the Jordan 7 times. Following the orders of the holy man, his skin was healed. It was like the skin of a little baby. He was as good as new. But he had to obey. He had to do what God, he had to prepare. He had to prepare for the healing. He had to go to the Jordan, though he didn't want to, though it was a dirty, muddy river. He didn't want to do that. He'd rather go get in a swimming pool where it's clean water. But he had to obey what God told him to do through the through the prophet, Elisha. And when he did so, he prepared and God healed him. He prepared, then obeyed. God healed him. In Matthew 3, talks about when Jesus was coming on the scene. It says, while Jesus was living in the Galilean hills, John, called the Baptizer, was preaching in the desert country of Judea. His message was simple and austere, like his desert surroundings. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. John and his message were authorized by Isaiah's prophecy. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight. Told him to prepare the way. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is here. Make the way. Prepare. I'm talking about a harvest. In Hosea 10 and 12 says, sow righteousness, reap love. It's time to till the ready earth. It's time to dig in with God until he arrives with righteousness ripe for harvest. And didn't Brother Brandon talk to us about righteousness? Amen. Reconciliation, Joel 2 and 12. But there's also this. It's not too late. God's personal message. Come back to me and really mean it. Come fasting and weeping. Sorry for your sins. Change your life, not just your clothes. Come back to God, your God. And here's why. God is kind and merciful. He takes a deep breath, puts up with a lot. Well, that's for sure. This most patient God, extravagant in love, always ready to cancel catastrophe. Who knows? Maybe he'll do it now. Maybe he'll turn around and show pity. Maybe when all's said and done, there'll be a blessing full and robust for your God. Had to make a change. Another story about healing where there had to be preparation. John chapter 9, verse 6. It's talking about Jesus who healed the blind man. Said, and he said this, and then spit on the ground, spit in the dust, made a clay paste with the saliva, rubbed the paste on the blind man's eyes, and said, go wash at the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. The man went and washed and saw. But he had to prepare. Jesus prepared. He prepared the clay, rubbed it on his eyes. And then the man had to prepare himself by going to the pool and wash, and then he was made whole. He was made to see. His eyes were opened. To look at another place, in John 11:39, It's where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." And the sister of the dead man, Martha, said, "Master, by this time there's a stench." The King James says, "By now he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days." Jesus looked her in the eye. "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Then to the others, "Go ahead, take away the stone." They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, "Father, I'm grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me." Then he shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And he came out, a cadaver. He was dead. Had been dead. Wrapped from head to toe and with a kerchief over his face. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go. Let him loose." They had to prepare for this to take place. They had to move the stone. Jesus said, "Move the stone so that he could come out." Now, yeah, Jesus, I mean, after he was resurrected, he walked through walls. I mean, just didn't really walk through. Well, he appeared in the room, which he could have just spoke, and Lazarus could have just appeared without them moving the stone. But he wanted them to prepare themselves to see the miracle that was about to happen. Roll away the stone. And they're like, "Whoa, but Lord, he's been dead 4 days." And back then, in the Jews, they didn't do any embalming and that kind of stuff. And so it doesn't take long to start stinking. You know, this old body decays pretty fast. And so, you know, they're worried about it, about how bad it's going to smell when they do that. And, you know, he's like, "Just do it, you know. Prepare yourself. Prepare for the miracle." And one more place, in Revelation 7, 13 through 17, it says, "Just then one of the elders," talking to John, showing John the things in Revelation, "Just then one of the elders addressed me and said, 'Who are these dressed in white robes? Where did they come from?' Taken aback, I said," this is John speaking, "I said, 'Oh, sir, I have no idea, but you must know.' Then he told me, 'These are those who come from the great tribulation. Amen. They've washed their robes, scrubbed them clean in the blood of the Lamb. That's why they're standing before God's throne. They serve Him day and night in His temple. The one on the throne will pitch His tent there for them. No more hunger, no more thirst, no more scorching heat. The Lamb on the throne will shepherd them and will lead them to spring waters of life. And God will wipe every last tear from their eyes." Why? Because they prepared themselves. They went to the Lord and allowed Him to wash them white with the blood of the Lamb. They stayed faithful and were washed white. They prepared for a place in God's kingdom. They prepared themselves. And that's what we have to do. We have to continually prepare ourselves, not only to receive what He has for us here, but prepare ourselves to be able to go to the place where He has created for us, that He's gone to prepare for us. Are you prepared for the blessings of God? Are you preparing for the kingdom of God? Reef, would you come? You know, It's not just a one-time thing. You know, this was a one-time thing. I prepared, bought the ball, went to the golf tournament. I didn't know who would show up or if anybody would. Everson Wald showed up, got him to sign my ball. You know, one time thing. But living for God and preparing ourselves for the kingdom of God is an everyday, all day, everyday situation. Because what else matters in this life? What else matters in this world? Nothing matters if we don't apply ourselves and give ourselves and attach like the garden hose to the Spirit of God and allow Him to flow in us and through us so that we can do the purpose that God has for us to do. Let's all stand, please. You know, we can all use something fresh and anew every day. And every morning, and then throughout the day, but especially every morning to start the day. God, what do you got for me today? Lord, where do you want me to go? Lord, let your Spirit flow through me. Make me that garden hose. Make me that conduit that the Spirit can flow through, and so that not only so that I can be blessed, but that I can bless others, and show me how to do that. You know, you can also turn on a hook up a water hose, turn it on, and just leave it laying out there, and it's just going to spread water wherever it wants to. But if you've got an intent for that water, to water your garden, to wash your car, to fill up your swimming pool, if you got purpose for that water, then you have to direct it. So the same thing with the Spirit of God. If we open up and let God flow in us and through us, and then we direct where that goes according to His Word and according to what He says, as we meet folks that need God, and we say, okay, let me tell you. Let me tell you what God did for me and tell you what He can do for you also. Amen. Then that's when we find ourselves in the purpose and what God has for us. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for this message that I believe that you gave me. Lord, I ask you to speak to every one of us, Lord, and help us to open our hearts and open our spirit so that we can be that conduit of your Spirit. Lord, that we can do the things that you would have us to do. Work through us, Lord, and speak through us in Jesus' name. And Lord, and if there's anyone here who needs prayer, whether it be for healing or mental or you just need a new touch from the Lord, I invite you to come. Brother Gary and Sister Linda, come on up. Brenda, Tony, and Becky, come on up and to receive anyone who needs prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, ask you, Lord God, to help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to always reach for you in everything that we do. Lord, that you may bless others through us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Now reach your hands out here toward Charlie.
When you go to the jail downtown, I know a few people have been down there. You have to pay for parking and all that. Well, you can't take your cell phone or anything like that in the jail. So I rolled my windows up in my car, and I had the same routine because I've been going up there for a long time. It's been an ongoing thing. And this really has nothing to do with the actual situation, but I always keep my keys right by me, always. And I'll put my phone on the charger, and for some reason I guess I threw my keys on my seat for some reason. That outlocked my keys in the car and my phone. And if anybody in here can, no, I can't remember numbers, and all my numbers are from my phone. So I'm standing there, and my meter says 3 hours. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what am I going to do? So after standing there for an hour looking at my car, trying to figure out if I'm going to hit it with a rock or whatever, you know, if I'm going to bust one of the windows out, I'm going to have to do it behind my key. So I decided to go in and visit. Visit, came back out, and the meter guy was out there, and I told him, well, I locked my keys in my car, I can't remember any phone numbers, so I'm going to go down there and get a rock down the hill by the Trinity River, and I'm going to bust my window. Well, I go down there, and I'm beating on my car. I didn't get it busted out, so I started walking. I walked from Fort Worth all the way to Burleson. It took me 10 hours, and it sounds crazy, right? Anyways, but the whole time I'm arguing with God, because I said, God, you told me that was going to be a miracle. You know? And so I'm not seeing it, because I'm walking down the worst neighborhood in Worth through the projects all the way, you know? And I was never scared. I don't know why. And did you say what you said? I'm not preparing. I'm fighting. I've been, because I've known God all my life. I know with the Spirit of God. And so, very emotional. I don't know. But, you know, and I argued. I mean, people probably thought I was crazy, because I'm walking down the street and I'm screaming, literally, talking to myself. I'm like, you know, I said it, you know, because I know, but I'm not ready. And when you say what you said today, and what happened last week, you know, and this only happened not even a month ago, this happened. You know, and they, of course, there's other things I can go on about. She went to court, and she had prison time, my wife, and all this. And I was expecting something else, because God keeps saying, there's a miracle coming. But what is the miracle? You know, I know what it is. But it's a whole lifestyle change, a whole world change. But you can't see that, because you just see, because miracles happen to me all the time, all my life. I know. I'm alive. I'm alive. I mean, anytime you see me, you see a miracle, I promise you. Places I've been, things I've seen, you know, but in people I've been around, there's plenty of times I could have been killed easily, and I never thought about it, because I know. But anyways, that's what I read. Thank you.
still.